across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Nice to have you along, 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, April 9th, along with Greg Bach and Waukesha, meteorologist Brittany Merlot standing by as well to tell us about the eclipse and the forecast. But we're going to start with Rob's note from Tigerton, where he says, good morning, it's cloudy and 40, had some light rain overnight. He talks about tonight is a storm spotter class for the Green Bay National Weather Service, taking the class online for Severe Weather Awareness Week. That's all fine. Then he says, Highway 45 in downtown Antigo is open except for a southbound lane because of a building collapse on Fifth Avenue that closed the highway yesterday. What?
Yeah, just, wow. A building collapse.
A building collapse. And sure enough, yes, a building in downtown Antigo collapsed, according to all the local media reports out there, causing Superior Street, US 45, to be closed down for a time. Bystanders told Channel 7 out of Wausau that the building used to be a hardware store but had been abandoned for a long time and nobody was inside at the time, which is all fine. I'm just not used to hearing a building just fall down. Just fall down.
Did the building go fall down and go boom?
I guess so. So, Rob, thank you for that update and also for taking the storm spotter class, as we turn now to Brittany Merlot, who remains in Illinois, where she did not burn her retinas. She practiced safe eclipse viewing. What'd you think?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Honestly, it was the coolest thing. It was almost eerie a little bit as the shadow, you know, it started to get dark, everything started to get quiet, and then, you know, just it was breathtaking, honestly. I'm almost speechless from it. I really, really enjoyed it. And then having it just start to get lighter out. I was out on the golf course, to be honest with you. So just playing around the golf out there, having it all happen.
You timed a round of golf?
Yep.
When do I get to play a round of golf while doing my job?
Yeah. Wow.
How do I control a show from the back nine?
We're going to figure this out for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Please.
From the cart. There's a way.
Carry an iPad around with you. You could do it. Temperatures around the state at this hour are in the upper 30s to low 40s. Well, upper 40s in Madison and Waukesha. Brittany, where are we going from here?
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be so nice out today. It's actually already 54 degrees into Racine right now. Feeling fantastic. And highs across the state, of course, soaring into those 60s. And we're going to get even warmer as we go through tomorrow, too. So mid to upper 50s for some of us. A lot of us going into the 60s today. But tomorrow, everyone pushing into the 60s, potentially tapping 70 degrees into some places. So just a bunch of sunshine ahead for today and tomorrow, and warming temperatures all ahead of some rain headed our way on Thursday. So very, very nice out today.
I'm looking forward to that, because there was no eclipse viewing out here. It was so overcast all day, and whatever darkness it got, you know, during the whenever the eclipse was at its peak here, like, it was barely noticeable. If you weren't told there was an eclipse, you'd just be like, oh, cloud deck got a little bit heavier. So
yes.
I feel bad for the folks that didn't get to see it here. But I heard a whole lot of people on TV yesterday sounding exactly like you.
Really?
And how cool it was to experience it. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was worth it. It was worth the drive.
All right. Well, safe travels home. We'll talk to you later on.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Brittany. It's now 7:10 here on Up North News Radio. And coming up in our second half hour, we're going to play back the recent one-on-one interview that I had with Senator Tammy Baldwin. We talk a bit about the record that she's running on while seeking a third term in the U.S. Senate. But we also get into a little background information about the path that she took from valedictorian at Madison West High School to the county board to the state assembly to the U.S. House of Representatives, and now having served two terms in the U.S. Senate, some of her favorite things and more coming up again in our second half hour. President Biden was in Wisconsin yesterday in the Madison area to announce the latest effort to reduce the $1.7 trillion mountain of student loan debt across the country. The president said more than 30 million borrowers would see what he called life-changing relief from his new plan to ease those debt burdens. Biden has already canceled $144 billion in student loans for almost 4 million Americans. Here's Biden explaining that there are five different categories of borrowers that are about to see some relief.
I will never stop to deliver student debt relief on hardworking Americans, and it's only in the interest of America that we do it. Starting this fall, we plan to deliver up to $20,000 in interest relief to over 20 million borrowers and full forgiveness for millions more. Today, I'm proud to announce five major actions to continue to relieve student debt for more than 30 million Americans since I started my administration. First, my administration will propose a new rule to cancel up to $20,000 in runaway interest for any borrower that owes more now than when they started paying the loan. And for low and middle class families enrolled in my SAVE program, we'll cancel all of your interest. We plan to cancel student debt for borrowers who still owe student loans, even though they started repaying them more than two decades ago. We plan to cancel debt for about 2 million borrowers who would be eligible for debt forgiveness through the SAVE program, public service loan forgiveness, or other debt canceling programs, but are not enrolled in these programs. We plan to cancel debt for borrowers who the Department of Education determines were cheated by universities that left students on unaffordable loans and delivered little in benefits to students. The Department of Education will propose a new rule to cancel student debt for Americans facing financial hardships, from child care to health care, to prevent them from paying back their loans.
So we talked a bit about some of these categories yesterday that he just touched on again. For example, the category of people who went to some of these fly-by-night schools that probably paid more for TV commercials than they did for actual academic programs and talked prospective students into financing loans, you know, through them or their partners. And now they didn't get a degree, or the degree isn't worth the paper that it's printed on, and yet they're saddled with all of this debt. And by relieving that debt, that's money that instead of going to banks gets put right back into the local economy to, you know, maybe buy a first home, buy a car, whatever the case may be. Of course, it's led to some of the usual, you know, carping by people who had PPP loans during the pandemic forgiven. There were $800 billion worth of PPP loans that kept the economy going during the pandemic. And then it turned out they weren't loans. They were all forgiven, including several Wisconsin politicians. There have been corporate bailouts aplenty in our lifetime. There's a $2 trillion hit to the debt from the 2017 Republican tax bill. So yeah, there's also room somewhere in there to provide relief for working class families and young couples, like we're going to hear here from UW grad Ashley Stork, who also spoke at yesterday's event.
Coming from a family of farmers in rural Wisconsin, I had to take out student loans to afford my tuition. Together, we have over $75,000 in student loans. While still in school, I remember I'd saved enough money to make my biggest payment to date. Feeling like I was getting ahead, I was heartbroken to discover that the $1,000 I saved couldn't even cover the interest that had piled up. Prior to the SAVE plan, we were making monthly payments totaling $700. Now, after the SAVE plan, our monthly payments have dropped to $0. Because of President Biden's commitment to hardworking Americans, the SAVE plan empowered us to reinvest in our business, hire our first employee, and help promote economic growth throughout the state of Wisconsin.
So there you go. In their own words, one of the graduates, one of the many people who can, again, put that capital to work in Wisconsin instead. And that's an economic relief plan right there. The progressive group Opportunity Wisconsin has some new digital billboards up, knocking Republican Congressman Brian Steil and Derek Van Orden just ahead of tax day, because that day is coming up here shortly. Each one targets each congressman for supporting different ways of continuing those 2017 tax cuts that were essentially giveaways to the highest incomes. The billboards are running in their congressional districts, and in one case says about Steil that he supported $44 billion in tax giveaways for the richest 1%, and for Derek Van Orden, it was 34%. In the Wisconsin State Senate, there's been a retirement of a longtime Senator, Republican Rob Coles, of the Green Bay area. I served along with him. We didn't work on any legislation together, but I just thought that he was one of the friendliest, one of the smartest members of the Republican caucus who did not fear working across the aisle, especially if it was for the benefit of Wisconsin's natural resources. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Todd Alba, who has, you know, of course, the afternoon show here on Civic Media, and who also worked in the state capitol as a Senate staffer to Republican Dale Schultz. Todd puts up about Rob Coles, "This marks the end of an era in the Wisconsin State Senate. Senator Coles is both the longest-serving Republican member and the last of the thoughtful, pragmatic, principled conservatives, a group led by the late Majority Leader Mike Ellis, and included Coles, Luther Olson, Dale Schultz, Alan Lassay." He also lists Senators Brian Root of the La Crosse area, Krull, Panzer, Ressler, Sheila Harsdorf, Rosenzweig, Brown, Kedzie, Margaret Farrow, and Jerry Petrowski. He writes, "They weren't all perfect, who is, but they were willing to listen and work with Democrats to get things done. Some were also pro-choice. They were all passionate about Wisconsin. Senator Coles is the last of the group, and with him goes institutional knowledge and the last of the Republican Party that was founded in Ripon, Wisconsin. The transformation of the Senate Republican caucus is complete, and Wisconsin is not better for it." Again, the words of Todd Alba, who was up close and personal with all of those Republican senators over the years. And some of them go so far back that I actually interviewed some of them as a cub reporter fresh out of college. You know, Mary Panzer, Carol Ressler, Sheila Harsdorf, and then later got to serve with some of them in the legislature. And again, the bottom line is nobody was going to confuse them for Democrats. Nobody. They had their conservative principles, but they also had a principle dedicated toward service, serving the state of Wisconsin, and willing to work with people across the aisle to help put good ideas into play. Might not be everything that they wanted, not going to be everything that their Democratic co-author wanted, but still did something more than the gridlock and dysfunction that we see today. The Brewers tried to make a comeback after being down 8-0 in Cincinnati last night, but ultimately fell 10-8, ruining Aaron Ashby's comeback as starting pitcher, since there were a couple of errors behind him. He allowed 8 runs, 5 of them were earned. Game 2 is tonight, and the Boston Celtics are at Fiserv Forum tonight to play the Milwaukee Bucks. You can catch that game on locally grown Radio Wisconsin Rapids and Lake Air in Amory. The news continues right after this, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Number one album in the country on this day in 1968 was the soundtrack from The Graduate, propelled largely by that song, Mrs. Robinson, by Simon and Garfunkel, this day in 1968. At Up North News, we put together a daily newsletter. Christina Lurie puts it together. You might have heard her in the last hour. In today's edition, she notes that over the weekend, Up North News sent out a short survey to make sure we're covering the stories that you want and need to know in our daily newsletter. Also in today's newsletter, there are many ways to follow a fitness plan. There's weightlifting, running, cycling, yoga, martial arts, or sitting on your butt and running a radio show. I excel at that particular fitness plan. Anyway, there was a national survey of state Google searches, and it tells us which fitness programs are most popular here in Wisconsin. Look for that story. And a link to listen back to a show last week, where I passed along the John Torinas op-ed about 10 questions to ask anyone who is still supporting Donald Trump. Over on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you can find a story featuring an interview with State Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer on how Wisconsin voters hold the key to defending democracy in the United States this November. And if you look on our social media feeds, you'll see how Governor Tony Evers and U.S. Energy Secretary and former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm recorded a video about the many rebates available to Wisconsinites through the Inflation Reduction Act. We talked about that with Melissa Baldoff last Wednesday in our Climate Check segment, And I'm sure we'll hit it a few more times as well, so that, again, people can make improvements either in their home's energy or their vehicle and get a nice rebate back as a part of it. Governor Evers yesterday spoke at the Conference of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin State Council of Machinists annual conference in the Madison area. While he was there speaking to the Machinists Union, he vetoed a bill. It was a Republican bill designed to remove the requirement for employers to obtain a work permit for 14 and 15-year-olds, because that has been one of the cornerstones of how Republicans want to address the labor shortage. Not by immigration reform, so that a whole lot of hardworking adults can come in and work and have safety and shelter and contribute to the economy. No. It's let's make kids go back to work in more dangerous jobs, and let's get rid of the need for work permits so that it's even tougher for minors to complain if they're put in dangerous situations. The governor cited figures from the U.S. Department of Labor showing that from 2021 to 2023, the number of minors employed in violation of child labor laws increased 105%. Evers went on to talk about his commitment to bolstering the workforce in Wisconsin through initiatives that included apprenticeship programs, ways to enhance employer engagement, recruitment, and retention. Evers told the Machinists, you know, in April of last year, Wisconsin's unemployment rate hit a historic low of 2.4%. Last year, Wisconsin had the all-time lowest number of unemployed workers ever in modern history, and our state's labor force participation rate also consistently remained above the national average throughout the year. In other words, that Republican talking point of nobody wants to work isn't true. Everybody who could participate and wants to participate and needs to pay the bills can get work. It's that simple. But it's a lot easier to say, well, there are some lazy people out there and all immigrants are dangerous. It's easier to do that than it is to actually work on solutions. You could see that in Eric Hovde's latest TV commercial. It's all about the southern border. And again, we're a long way from the southern border, and we are a long way from immigration, illegal or undocumented immigration, being a significant hardship on the Wisconsin economy. Quite the opposite. It is, by and large, undocumented immigrants on Wisconsin farms working their tails off in order for their families back home to have a life of safety and a roof over their heads. It's because of them that Wisconsin's dairy industry still exists the way it does. And as we noted last week, there is a way to address that worker shortage. There's a working group associated with the House Agriculture Committee. That working group has put forward a bipartisan list of recommendations. It includes a year-round agricultural visa so that undocumented immigrants can get documented, can get on the paperwork, continue to contribute to, you know, Social Security, Medicare, the things that come out of their payroll checks, but that they would never get if they stay undocumented. It would allow them the peace of mind that they can continue to work their jobs and, again, send that money home for a better life. Derek Van Orden is on that working group, and yet I have heard, other than one quick announcement when that working group came out, I've heard jack squat from him about that. Instead, more of the usual insults and things that he seems to be addicted to putting on Twitter. So he's not in the legislature, but I kind of wonder if he'd be in with this same group that says, well, rather than embrace immigration, how about if we make more 14 and 15-year-olds take jobs that are conceivably very dangerous to them? That's their solution. Governor Evers vetoed that bill yesterday, and rightly so. A lot of the chatter yesterday was on former President Trump's quote-unquote new position on abortion. And a lot of places have played back some of the video that he recorded yesterday, and I just prefer not to, because it gives him more oxygen to spread more of the things that he is lying about. He lied in this video saying that all legal experts thought that Roe v. Wade ought to be overturned. No, not true. He talks about Democrats wanting abortion to be legal up to and past the ninth month, including executing babies that have already been born. Again, something so wildly out of bounds and wildly untrue. And he knows this. So you've got two groups of people that are especially dangerous. You've got the people who are willingly lying about the issue of abortion. And then you've got the people gullible enough to believe it, want to spread it, and maybe act on it in ways that, again, could get increasingly ugly. And it's worth mentioning again that tomorrow, my guest will be former D.C. police officer Michael Fanone. He was one of the police officers who was beaten savagely by the insurrectionists on January 6th. And he and other former officers, he was part of the D.C. Police Department, are now touring swing states like Wisconsin, speaking out against politicians who are lying and who are engaged in violent rhetoric and who then feel like they can step back and say, well, I never told anybody to be violent, but the violence in their rhetoric is only going to encourage more people through lies like this on abortion. And let's make sure we're clear about this. Trump doesn't have a position on abortion. He's tried so many different positions. He was rabidly pro-choice and a Democrat once upon a time. Now he's not Republican. He's just a cynic who's in it for himself and says, well, I'm not for a national ban. I want it on a state-by-state chaotic basis. Don't believe that. He'd sign a national ban in a heartbeat if it was put in front of him. So much for a new position on abortion. Our interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin, coming up next. You're up north. That is part of the soundtrack of the 1958 movie Anti-Mame with Rosalind Russell. And you'll understand why we're playing it in just a couple of minutes when we talk to Senator Tammy Baldwin. First, a reminder that in this segment tomorrow, we will be visiting with Congressman Mark Pocan. And as I mentioned, former D.C. police officer Michael Fanone will hear him at 7:05 tomorrow, and then Congressman Pocan at 7:30. Senator Tammy Baldwin, running for a third term, was getting set to start a road trip across Wisconsin just over a week ago when we had a chance to sit down when she came through the Chippewa Valley for an extended interview to talk not just about the reasons that she's running for office, but to get a little bit more personal background from her as well. Let's give a listen back to our visit with the senator. Senator Tammy Baldwin, thank you again for being with us today.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the state of Wisconsin. It's going to be a tipping point again for the country once more. Can you talk about why that is and why it's important for the voters to appreciate what a tipping point state we are?
Absolutely. Well, it's not an exaggeration to say that Wisconsin could decide who occupies the White House, what party controls the United States Senate and House. We are that battleground state that everyone is looking at. And you don't have to go back many elections to see just how tight our statewide races usually are, oftentimes decided by less than one percentage point. So there is not a road to the White House or to the majority in the Senate that doesn't go right through Wisconsin.
What accomplishments are you most proud of from your time in office so far? And why do you feel voters should send you back to Washington?
Wow. Well, I think of so many recent accomplishments that make me very, very proud. You know, working to lower prescription drug costs and passing the bill that makes the greatest investment in clean energy, renewable energy, and combating climate change that has ever happened anywhere in the world. I mean, that's amazing and positive work. I'm proud of the PACT Act, which is finally recognizing that our recent veterans were exposed to a lot of toxins and they were never compensated for the illnesses that result. This PACT Act changes all of that. But going back a few years, one of my proudest accomplishments was being the author of the amendment that allows young people to stay on their parents' health insurance until they turn 26. When the Affordable Care Act was implemented, that one provision gave millions upon millions of young people coverage who didn't have it before. And those sort of things are game changers and makes you really think about what you can accomplish when you listen to your voters and then get to work.
So how will things be different if Donald Trump becomes president again and if Republicans get working majorities in the House and Senate?
Well, it'll be a return to chaos and a return to active threats against our very democracy. Remember, Donald Trump promoted the big lie about the outcome of the last election. I have every reason to believe that he'll try to draw doubt as we approach the 2024 election. But the substantive agenda is also very frightening. If you've seen him talk about his plans, he talks about being a dictator on day one. He talks about putting people who are totally loyal to him, not to country, but to him, in places of high power. But then let's think about the critical issues that we've been focusing on recently. Reproductive freedom. Donald Trump promoted the three justices who made that decision a reality and wants to double down with a national ban on abortion. We know that Joe Biden is going to protect reproductive freedoms, and that's a huge difference. But I could list many issues. Repeal of the Affordable Care Act was an active agenda item for Donald Trump, and Joe Biden wants to build upon it and strengthen our healthcare system.
How real is the threat to Social Security and Medicare?
Well, my opponent is somebody who signed on to a measure that would raise the retirement age and reduce benefits, exactly what we can't afford to do. I think of the people that I've met across the state of Wisconsin who couldn't make ends meet if it weren't for Social Security and Medicare. And there are ways to strengthen the solvency of Social Security that just involve everybody doing their fair share. There's no need to tell folks who depend completely on Social Security that their benefits are going to be cut.
You serve on an appropriations subcommittee dealing with agricultural and rural areas, which sounds like the literal political definition of bringing home the bacon. What are you most proud of in that role?
Well, Wisconsin has a lot of folks involved in the dairy industry, and dairy farmers are struggling. One of my greatest achievements in the last farm bill was something called the Dairy Business Innovation Act. That act allows folks to get small, medium-sized grants to improve their efficiency, do value-added activities on the farm. And for many, it's really changing their businesses around and allowing them to flourish and prosper rather than come up short.
What are the biggest differences between you and your potential opponent, Eric Hovde, both from a policy standpoint and, you know, a personal background standpoint?
Yeah, so Eric Hovde, when he last ran for Senate unsuccessfully in 2012, said that he was 100% opposed to abortion rights. He said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act in its entirety. He said he would promote policies that reduce Social Security and Medicare benefits. And seems to not understand that Social Security and Medicare are earned benefits. People pay in throughout a lifetime of work. He has favored a tax plan that would actually reduce taxes on multimillionaires like himself and raise taxes on working people. The list is very long on all of those issues. I'm the leader of the bill that would restore Roe versus Wade to the national code. I'm leading the fight to improve upon and build upon the Affordable Care Act. On Social Security and Medicare, having been raised by my grandparents, I saw the value of those programs at a very young age. And I can tell you, I will fight to make sure that nobody like Eric Hovde gets a chance to cut those benefits.
Let's learn a little bit more about you beyond your senator's role. What was your first job?
My first job was working at Kentucky Fried Chicken, so fast food job.
What was your favorite teacher or class in high school?
You know, I had so many teachers that influenced me greatly, sometimes in the classroom, sometimes at extracurriculars after the after class was over. But I particularly liked math. And I had a geometry teacher, Mr. Locher, who was very influential. Also, I would say, in my senior year, I took a class on political science. Partly that class made me think about the potential of maybe someday serving in elective office, and that was a very significant class for me.
If you had just a moment to tell something to your teenage self, what would you tell her?
Oh boy, I think, you know, be confident in being you. Be confident that you can make a difference. You know, there's an expression I share with young people all the time from Margaret Mead: never doubt that a small and thoughtful group of committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And I think we need to know our own power. And I would be telling my young self, you can be effective. You can be the change that you want to see.
Tell me about your first car.
It was a blue Honda Accord. I had it during college, and its name was Rhonda the Talented Honda. And that was inspired by somebody who said that had a bike that they named Spike the Talented Bike. So, you know, the things you do in college, think up names for your car.
Do you have a favorite car now, or do you have a dream car that you want to have someday?
Well, I'm ready to go electric, or at least hybrid. I have a car that I purchased in 2006 that is ready for replacement, but it's hard to replace because it's so cute. It's a Pontiac Solstice, so a little roadster.
Do you have a first long road trip in a car that you remember taking?
Oh, gosh, yes. I remember driving from Wisconsin to Colorado, the Western Slope, for a vacation in my 20s, and camping along the way because I couldn't afford hotels.
And now the last one. If you could do a road trip now, if you could really get away for an entire week or weekend, where would you take a road trip to?
Well, there's many places in Wisconsin that I would go to. I love the Apostle Islands. That might be both a road trip and a ferry trip because you can't drive straight there. But that's one that I thoroughly enjoy. But if I was leaving the state, I might pick a national park that I hadn't been to yet.
What's a favorite comfort food or guilty pleasure when the calories don't count?
Ooh, gosh. You know, sometimes I would say cheese, although I would say that's not just a comfort food. I enjoy cheese all the time. But there are certain things like cheese curds that I just love. And it's a real Wisconsin treat, too.
So squeaky or deep fried?
Squeaky.
Pontoon or deck boat?
I've been on a pontoon boat much more than I've ever been on a deck boat, but I did enjoy my time on a deck boat. That was very indecisive. I don't have a strong favorite there.
Do you have a favorite Wisconsin-made beverage?
Well, I certainly like a good local brew.
Do you have a favorite movie you've watched so much it's practically memorized?
Auntie Mame.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's two versions of it, but I like the one with Rosalind Russell.
Which of your colleagues, if they lost a bet, would look best wearing a Bears jersey walking around Lambeau Field because they lost the bet to you?
Well, I will tell you that Tammy Duckworth lost a bet to me on a Packers-Bears game, and we have footage of her in a cheese head, so that's pretty close.
You served on the Dane County Board before serving in the State Assembly, then the U.S. House and the Senate. Are there days you'd want to change places with someone and be a humble county board member again?
Look, everything I needed to know about legislative politics, I actually learned on the Dane County Board. I learned things like remember to count your votes. I learned things like just because you are identified as a conservative or a liberal doesn't mean you can't find common ground. And I always tried to. And I loved those days. You know, there's that expression, all politics is local. And there was something that I found great comfort in, which was really knowing a huge percentage of my constituents, Because when you run for county board, you actually go door to door. And it helps you get the pulse of what's going on. So I do miss that post in many ways.
Wikipedia says through her maternal grandfather, Tammy Baldwin is a third cousin of comedian Andy Samberg. Is this true? And has he given you any material he thought you could use on the campaign trail?
It is true. And I've met him once at a large family reunion. But, you know, I can collect his material just by watching reruns.
How many of your friends, neighbors, and colleagues regularly jump into a lake that's still got ice on it?
None.
What is the single best thing about being Wisconsin senator?
The wonders of this state, the people, the work ethic, the values, and the beauty.
Senator Tammy Baldwin, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
There you have it. It's official. If you want to be a U.S. senator from the state of Wisconsin, it does not require you to take a jump in a lake with
what about
ice
throwing
still
an axe?
I did not have time for the hurling an axe. I know. So maybe there's something there. We talked to her at the beginnings of a campaign function that she was holding in Eau Claire. So you could hear the crowd building and getting antsy for the senator to come join them. But we were very fortunate to have her there, learn a little inside information about her as she heads into this particular reelection bid. And now, thanks to Greg, I've got the first question for the next time that we sit down with her.
You're welcome. I am a journalist.
Yes, exactly. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio. It's been another eventful week in the Wausau area. We'll see the kinds of things that he is talking about. And again, tomorrow, our sit-down with Congressman Mark Pocan and also an interview with retired D.C. police officer Michael Fanone about being attacked by the crowd on January 6th and the role of violent rhetoric in politics today. Back with Chad after this. You're up north. Chad Holmes Show is coming up on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not in Wausau, you say? Get the Civic Media app. Tap on Bull Falls Radio. Listen to Chad. Weekday mornings from 8 to 10. Conveniently, Mr. Holmes is here now. Chad, how are you?
I am doing pretty good.
You had to think
of terrific. It's too early to be terrific, but I'm doing pretty good.
No Chad in space today.
No, we got rid of that echo.
And right? I have no idea why. I swear, this thing that I use is, one day it'll be perfect, the next day it won't be, and it's not because of anything I'm doing. It's just the way it goes.
You know what? Now, Greg, we have to mess with him. We have to like set it up like next week when he's on. We put in like an auto tuner. So he sounds like this. It's just like,
hi, Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio.
By the way, did you see that I'm a little sunburned already?
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Saturday, I was doing a doubleheader of softball, and it was sunny on Saturday. It was chilly, but it was sunny. And I didn't kind of realize that even though it was chilly, that I probably still should have put something on my face because by the time I got into the shower Sunday morning and the water comes on my head, it started like what's going on here? It's like,
you should.
So It is that time of year where you have to start thinking about it. And now I look like a tomato. But at least I'm a radio guy. So
I was mentioning yesterday that our Saturday project was basically gutting the garage because we're having it, we're putting in insulation and sheetrock all around. And then we'll put everything back. But there's been this running joke every year about how I get the first suntan of the year because just working in the garage, I get a tan because my complexion is just that, red or just that easily tanned compared to other people that have to really work at getting a tan. But yeah, we're in that stage now where you're covering spring sports and we had what appeared to be spring weather for a while. And then winter returned just as you're trying to cover spring sports. This is never an easy gig for you, is it?
No, but, April, you just got to, flip a coin. Some days it's going to rain. Some days it's going to sleet. Some days it's going to snow. And some days it's going to be beautiful. So it's the way it is. So you kind of let it roll off your back like a duck, and you go from there. And the thing is, as tough as it may be for me, those athletic directors have to deal with it even worse, because they have to try to make everything fit if they lose a game or two, and scheduling is never easy.
Oh, absolutely. We talked to Dan Schumacher on Friday mornings, athletic director up at Northland College and UW-Eau Claire before that. And we've talked several times about the challenge of having to reschedule and, the whims of the weather and field conditions and everything like that. Hey, going back to last week and spring elections and Mayor Katie Rosenberg being unseated there, there were folks that were calling it a surprise, but other folks like Scott Ross put it so well, Marathon County has been essentially a red county from a legislative perspective for a decade now, the 7th Congressional District as well. So it was actually Katie Rosenberg's victory 4 years ago that was a surprise, as captured in her tweet on that election night, holy balls. But basically, you live in an area that reverted to the mean, it seems, where, there's a chance that progressive candidates can move forward in an election, but let's not kid ourselves that area is some kind of liberal hotbed. Dane County, you ain't.
No. And the thing is, I wouldn't have called Katie winning a surprise, and I don't call Katie losing a surprise, because, as you said, Marathon County, I think, is red. When you get outside of Wausau, you get to the rural areas, but within the city, it's 50-50. It really is. It's really where you have to be a good candidate. You have to be able to get your vote out. And boy, I mean, there's a couple of little things. And it's really unfortunate, because Mayor Rosenberg came in right in the, elected during COVID in 2020, had to deal with those issues, had to deal with this water issue that came up. And it's frankly ridiculous, in a sense, that she's being penalized for fixing a water issue. And that's what it's come down to, that frankly, the idea that this year, where some of the water bills were kind of spiked, people were upset, and who'd they blame? The incumbent.
Well,
and
sure.
You can say it's unfair, you can say it's wrong, but that's the way it's been in American politics for so very long. And you said last week that this isn't, I know that the Republican Party chairman was doing a little victory dance, and others in conservative media are doing victory dances here in Wausau. We have not seen the last of Katie Rosenberg. Katie Rosenberg is still, they said basically she was a rising star before this election. She's still a rising star.
Oh, gosh, without a doubt.
And the thing is, she may not be an elected politician. She's going to be involved in some way. I mean, one way or the other. And I also liked what you said last week, because I was tuned in the postscript, that Doug Denny deserves an opportunity to do the job. Right. I've had Doug Denny on the program a couple of times. My hope is that we're going to continue to do what we did with Katie, bring on the mayor on a regular basis, and I'm pretty sure they will. In fact, I was walking away from work, I think on Thursday, about 5 o'clock. And Doug went by and gave a wave. So, I mean, he is not a bad guy. The thing that I'm concerned about is the people that are so happy about it, to be honest with you, because they don't like Katie. And that was their whole goal, is they needed somebody to do that. I hope that what Doug Denny talked about to me when he's come into the studio is that he is going to be a guy that is not servicing the far right, that he is going to be somebody that attempts to do the job. And he's obviously a different kind of person than Mayor Rosenberg. But real quickly to wrap it up, in history, we've had elections and then you govern. I am so tired of the 12-month a year, every year election cycles. If the mayor does something that I disagree with, I'll say it. But at the same time, he deserves an opportunity to be able to implement what he has run on, and then we make a judgment when we get back into a campaign cycle. But the constant campaign cycle has to end.
Well, again, because we've turned it into sports, and so it's your team, all year round, and there's just this increased level of meanness that's in our politics from some politicians, from some voters, and it's not doing anybody a service. And I think it's great that you're going to be reminding people now is the time to govern, to see what the new mayor proposes and, you know, how things go, and hold them accountable, but also give them a chance to speak on his behalf. Catch all this and more on the Chad Holmes program on Bull Falls Radio or through the Civic Media app. Chad, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
Mr. Bach, you as well. Appreciate it as always. And thanks to all of you for tuning in on this Tuesday morning. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us on social media. You can sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. And if you want to listen back to the show, check out the video version on our Facebook page or subscribe to Listen on Demand wherever you get your favorite podcast. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.